Hello, hello. We are ready to begin 1 Peter Revisited. Amen. And last time we were talking about the Godhead because we're trying to get to the core of 1 Peter. And the core of 1 Peter is the Godhead. It is God. And that reality, and of course we always draw that with the Father on the chart. I'm pointing to a chart with a circle and it says Father, and a circle under and to the side, the Son, and another circle with HS, which doesn't stand for high school, but the Holy Spirit, because some of you don't want to go back to high school. I wouldn't mind, but that's another story. And then, of course, over here we have the U.S. No, I'm sorry. This is actually us. All right. So we are trying to get to the core of this. And, you know, in the beginning, God, right? In the beginning, God. You know, and then all things are created by him. And so there's that reality of that begins to come out of God that we're so familiar with. We're so familiar with the material world. We're also familiar with fallen mankind and their words, actions, attitudes, and all of that. We may be even familiar with Christianity's whatever. But nothing precedes God. And so we had drawn this chart and talked a little bit about the fact that, let's see, somebody said something about making sure. So I will, as I do this, repeat to you, not just in this class, but in church, in the gathering, in anything. If you have something to say, I'm sorry some of you don't like coming forward, but that's the only way to do it. We just missed it one time Sunday night. Deb was sharing, and she's got a great voice that carries, but I heard from a lot of people that they couldn't hear her. So just come forward if you have something or if you're called on, and don't assume that people can hear through long distance. All right. So we were looking at this chart and we were considering it within the realm of a short leash and in the realm of their interaction with one another. And let's see, this little thing might be in your way a little bit there. But we always draw it like this, and there's, you know, we put this arrow between the Father and the Son and the Father and the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit and the Son and, you know, and back and forth. And this is, I'm writing, for those of you who are listening to an audio of this, I've connected all of the circles with arrows showing their inner relationship of not just of being God, three in one. We're not just, that's not what we're shooting for here. But to show that they are self-giving to the core when it comes to how they treat one another. They don't declare themselves, they declare the others. They're not trying to get honor, they want to honor the other. There is always this spirit and this heart for the other. And that fact is more than a fact. That fact is how God is. God is love. And I wrote that in the center of this relationship because the simplest way to describe God is love. And love is not self-love, and it doesn't include, you know, promoting self or doing all these things. Love is requires someone else. Now, I realize in this day and age, it's possible to love all by yourself. to love yourself. It's even promoted in some places. But God's kind of love requires more than one, because they won't declare themselves and they won't make it about themselves, and because that's their spirit and their heart and their way. And as such, then there's this wonderful flow from eternity past. Okay, so this is why we did last week and we're coming back this time. We're trying to get to the core of 1 Peter, all right? And let me give you a scripture from 1 Peter. It's in 1 Peter chapter 3. This will help us set the stage a little better. 1 Peter 3. And we'll be looking at verses 17 and 18. It says, "For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing." Okay? It is better that you have the spirit of the Lamb that lays down his life for everybody that is, was ever born. We are all born in sin. So that the scripture says that he might bring us to God, and here also that he might bring us to God. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. And that's, so Peter's not really, I mean, he uses the example of Christ crucified over and over, because there is where the rubber finally met the road, even for God. Because in eternity past, God, or the Godhead, only gave, get ready, in eternity past, God only gave to givers. They all were givers. They all were lovers. They all were part of love. They all were in agreement, not by some sort of decree, but by the decree of their heart, or better said, the decree of their being, that they would honor one another. Okay? And that's what makes them God. The minute one of them turns and starts declaring himself, then the light goes out in that particular part of God. But that's not going to happen, because this isn't something they're trying to stand for. We're going to stand for this. This is something they are. All right. So we talked. Part of this is what we talked about last week, is we talked about, well, you know, this is easy then. Because, you know, nobody's going to get more than you. You know, everybody will be a giver. And everybody's going to get loved. You know, everybody's going to get treated fairly, if you will. Although none of this nature has to do with being fair. It has everything to do with being you within this relationship, or this oneness is a better way of putting that. All right? So the problem comes over here with the U.S., I mean with us. This is where the problem comes. Us. Because we are selfish and we are mean-spirited and we do things we shouldn't do, and we hurt people's feelings and we hurt people physically and we kill people and we do all kind of stuff because we didn't get our way, or, you know. I mean, you see that pretty much from the start. You know, Cain and Abel, you know, and this is brought up in 1 John in a mess of scriptures that are talking about love. And it's not talking about any Christian kind of love that we set forth up there, folks. It's God. And it's God's nature, and it's God who changes us into that same image by Christ being that image. All right, so, you know, so the son decides, we've never really checked all this out outside of ourselves, you know, and we're seeing all this bad stuff down there. Let me go down there and let me go, and he comes to us, okay? And in coming to us, everything's going to be different as far as the dynamics of this relationship, because as I said, there is a flow of oneness and self-giving. And, you know, I mean, people talk about, you know, I want to go to heaven and, you know, I want to get me a mansion, you know, and I want to walk on streets of gold, and I want to open doors that are made of pearl, and, you know, I can't wait to get to heaven, you know. But this spirit right here is what it's supposed to be about. And you remember how I've said that, you know, if you want to be a missionary, and then you want to go help people and you want to do all this stuff, but if you're not helping people and you're not giving and you're not going to the needy here, then the plane ride is not going to change you. Y'all remember me saying that? Okay, guess what? For those who are rapturized, the plane ride without the plane is not going to change you. There's something. Now you say, well, we shall be changed in the moment in a twinkling of the eye. Yeah, well, look at those scriptures a little closer. Okay, I'm just telling you, look at what category that's talking about. So, but the important thing is that this is God, and he can't make you God. You'll never be God. But you can be joined into this relationship. But the only way to do that is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen? Okay, and then once that happens, we get another aspect of the arrow. We have us over here and the Son putting his life within us. And then guess what? We're going to give back to him, and he's going to be preeminent, and we're going to want to declare him, and we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Christ's sake. Well, what does all that sound like? This sounds just like this flow, doesn't it? Sounds just like that. So it's kind of dumb to preach that without preaching the nature of God. You ever at any time got tired of hearing Randy talking about the nature of Christ? Not just what he did for us, not just that he saved us, not just that he, you know, we can now be blessed and healed and all that stuff, but that we, to be in his image is to have that image, his nature. All right, so... So here in 1 Peter, it's talking about this, the just for the unjust. Well, over here in the Godhead, in this flow, there are no unjust. Right? Okay. But coming over here to us, now you got some unjustness that's going to happen. All right. So, Jesus came down here and is with us. So I'm putting this big oblong circle, ring around the Son coming to us. The Son coming to us. And the dynamic's going to be completely different as to what's coming back to him compared to how he is. He will still be a giver. Okay, so let's go to in our little minds. Let's go to the simplest scripture that we all can quote to see if that's true. John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Here, say it with me. They all have masks. That's why that sounds like that. That he gave his only begotten son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes on this one, the one that we met, the one that we experienced, the way John says, the word of life. This is the word of life. This is not just the Torah. This is the word of life, which we've handled with our hands and heard with our ears. And this one, this son, is everything that they are, but now he's with us. And as such, with us, then, he is going to be in all sorts of dangers, because men will see you do something, and then they'll doubt your motives. You can even have a good motive, and people go, "Well, you just did that to be seen." You know? You ever experienced that before? Somebody question your motives? How about you guys? Okay, thanks. So there's, you know, that's just the simple part of it. It's not simple to us. We still can't get over the fact that people question our motives. We still have a hard time with that. I mean, this is the nature it's supposed to be there. We're supposed to love them back no matter what, right? I mean, isn't this the truth? Okay? So, so it's better if you suffer for well-doing. This is Peter's terminology, and it's very important. His version of well-doing is this right here, the Godhead, or the nature of God, or the nature of Christ, who is one in the Godhead with the Father and the Son, producing this same spirit, forgiving, turning the other cheek, praying for those who despitefully use you. I mean, we get extremely upset. It's one thing to, you know, question our motives. It's another thing to be despitefully used. You know, I just found out what's really going on here, and I'm upset. All right, you're missing the point. But I am a Christian. Okay, be a Christian. You certainly are. No question in my mind. But let us become conformed to the image of the Son. Lord, help us. And why? Okay, so I'm going to go off a little bit, all right? Is that all right? Then why should we, knowing this, why should we still throw fits and still get upset and still, you know? And this is what 1 Peter is about, folks. Seriously, this is the book of 1 Peter. It's about this very thing. It goes all the way back to the Godhead, and basically, to check it out, let's see. To check it out, you have to measure not your Christianity, but you, by this spirit. Now, you know, I know, well, nobody's perfect. You know, I said this to God, folks, when I was in Bible school. I said, "Lord, why are you expecting this of me? Nobody's perfect except the Son." You know, it sounded great. I thought, he'd go, "Well, that's true." He said, "Well, who's in you?" That's what he said to me. "Who's in you?" And I said, "The Son." He said, "Well, then let him do what he does. Stop being you." And I got it. I mean, I didn't transform instantly. I still have a long way to go. But I tell you what, I'm with Paul. I'm pressing towards the mark of the prize of the high calling that's in him. that'll be what's in him will be in us. And that's my hope. Christ in me. The hope. So, all right. So I wrote, in eternity past, the Godhead gives to givers. It's easy to love what loves you. And God did this for all eternity past, because we have really no record, unless you're gonna include angels or whatever. We have no real record of anybody else within the realm of this. You know, not angels, certainly not Satan. So, but Jesus came, and then Jesus came to, let's see. Now, we can say, okay, all this stuff. Jesus came to make changes. He came to make changes. Yeah, he didn't come to do stuff that just benefits us and we stay the same. He didn't do that. He did not do that. That's not his intent. That's not the Father's intent. That's not the Holy Spirit's intent. Okay? So when Jesus came, so one of his first sermons, if you want to read some with me, turn to Matthew chapter 5. And what are you going to find him preaching? What do you think you're going to find him preaching here? This is one of his first sermons. You know, this is he's going to preach how happy he is that you get saved. No, he's going to preach how beautiful is heaven. No. I guess the best way to answer that is, let's just read it. We're going to start at verse 43. There's a whole bunch before and after this, but we're going to just do this. Matthew 5, verse 43 down through 48. So he's going to make changes, right? You have heard that it's been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy, but I say unto you, okay, is that him coming to make changes? He's coming to make changes. I don't know why I did that, but it just felt like I needed to emphasize that some way. He's come to make changes. He's wanting changes. He's not wanting a new religion. He doesn't even have a religion. I know I get more people leave me when I say that he doesn't have a religion. He has a nature, and everything within that religion came out from here, and in many cases, when it came out, it got perverted or it got made filled with religion or whatever else, and it lost its savor. It lost its savor, and here's the savor, God, the Godhead, and how they flow with one another. All right. You've heard that's been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Okay? We talked about love a little bit as far as some scriptures last time. Y'all kind of remember that? I think we'll go over some, maybe even some of the ones we went over, just to put it within the context of the Godhead now in this kind of way. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Okay, now here's what, you know. For example, bless them that curse you. All right. So somebody comes up and they're going, I curse you, you're the devil himself, and you're just, you know, all this kind of stuff, and just saying stuff that, you know, I mean, whether true or not true, we get upset. And the response isn't, well, God bless you. How'd I do? You know, looking up to God. And he goes, not so good. Okay, I want you to really bless them. I want you to think in terms of blessing them. I want you to flow just like the Godhead flows. But he's nothing like the Father and the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus came to die on the cross. Did you know that? He's going to show you that it can be done and that he's going to be in you to do it. Okay? All right, there's more. Love your enemies, bless those that curse you, do good to them that hate you. That hate you. Okay? Yeah, sometimes it's just good to meditate on that. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. All right, so basically, Jesus is addressing what we would call, wait for it, evildoers. Does that word or that, you know, plural there remind you of any book of the Bible? What is it? Here, yes. First Peter. I'm pretty sure that's what y'all said. let's see. And then verse 45, that you may be the children of your Father. What do you think of that? It's here. It's grabbed us and literally shot us back through time, all of the generations before us, and then beyond that, greater generation, more generations, and literally passing through the time periods of, you know, the Pharaohs and of the this and of the that and the that, and it brings you right back to in the beginning God. That you may be the children of your Father. Okay. Well, what, just in the natural, and we're not going by the physical, but we're using it as an example. Just in the natural. Many children take on the attributes of their parents, right? I really don't know what color my real father's eyes were. I only saw him once or twice my whole life. But I know that my mom had blue eyes just like mine. And that I passed those down to Naphtali, and Naphtali passed them down to Bryce. There is, in the natural, we take on traits. We take on traits. But in the spiritual, we, in God's kingdom, are... Because see, if you look at the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in this relationship, you can call it a kingdom, but it's not a kingdom on any level that most people understand a kingdom. It's not. It is God manifest in three persons from eternity past and always has been who they are. And never departed from it. All right. That you may be the children of your Father. So that this is Jesus talking here. This is Jesus. He knows what he's talking about. Amen. He knows what he's talking about. He's like, love your neighbor. You know, y'all say that stuff, but I say love your enemies and da 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 da. Well, you know, that's what I'm going to say it like this. Well, that's what and why the Son came down to earth to us was to prove it. And the greatest proof of that's going to be the cross. It'll be the cross because it'll go to the depths of everything that you could, you know. I mean, it's not somebody just cursing you or despitefully using you or persecuting you. This is brutality. Which is your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. Okay, so now you're getting a picture, right? I mean, you say, well, of course he could be that way because the Father would be that way because the Son's that way and the Holy Spirit. But he's saying... The way I made creation before you guys jumped ship, was, I made the rain to fall on the just and on the unjust, or the sun to rise on the evil and on the good. So there is, what you are seeing is God's intention from the beginning to start manifesting. You know, don't you remember the scripture in Romans that talks about that the created world is really neat? I can't remember how the scripture goes, but it is meaning that it is reflecting back on God Himself. That's the thing. And it would, because He's not going to make something outside of Himself. All right? And when I say that, I mean, like the sun, you know, the sun comes up and you look at the sun and you go, oh, that's like the sun, you know, and it gives us all warmth and makes things grow and everything else. And then at night when it gets dark, you see the moon and the sun is still reaching the moon, and therefore the moon is bright and everything, but the moon has nothing that will make itself shine except reflective material, not anything innate, just reflective material, so it shines. And we say, well, this is God. This is so... No, it's not God. It is a very small picture of God, but it is... It will testify against us because we couldn't see even that. But He's not trying to get His testimony to be the creation. He wants His testimony to be Christ in you, Christ in me, Christ formed, Christ living. That's His goal. So, for if you love them that which love you, what reward have you? So He sees it, and this would be good for you to somehow ask the Holy Spirit right now tonight to let this soak into your being, because it might be really important at some point in your life. It says, for if you love them which love you, what reward have you? So Christians are just, you know, and I know I'm not speaking for everybody, but, you know, there's a whole lot of people just loving those people that love them and being upset with Sister Susie because she sings too loud in church, or Brother so-and-so because he's got this or that, and, you know, all of this stuff going on within the church, you know, and you know, you see that, you know, well, if I'm not the eye, then I'm not of the body. And if you don't have this, then you're not the body. You remember this? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And how does Paul deal with all of that fighting, even within the midst of it supposedly being of God? Well, it may be of God, but it isn't God. So he says, and yet I show you a more excellent way. At the end of chapter 12, bingo, that's where you get chapter 13. Love suffereth long. Love, da 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 da. It's all this. God is love, and He does all of this. And this is the more acceptable way than fighting within the body of Christ, or trying to be somebody great while stepping on somebody else, or talking them down. You're not part of the body if you're not the eye. Okay? It's right there. The love chapter comes out of Paul having to deal with the body and say, you are not what God's after when you don't even understand love. God is love. This is where you'll understand it. Love suffers long. Love is kind. Love is, you know. For you have loved them that love you. What reward have you? Okay, now if we really... hear that. I mean, if we really hear that as the truth, then we would have to take a good look at our relationships, and are they based on Him and them, Or are they based on our preferences? And if they are, then don't be upset if there is no reward. Well, I can see people stand up in heaven and go, well, why did they get this? Why did that person get that? And I didn't get anything. Well, it's because you didn't really believe my words. I can hear Jesus saying that said, if you love them that love you, what reward have you? Do also the publicans the same? See, I mean, if the Republicans do the same thing, then and then they turned. And then the teeth come out. Whoopee. And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? You're doing the same thing. Do not even the publicans do so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Now, the word perfect there is not talking about, excuse me, I don't usually have to wrestle with these, but this thing doesn't feel like a good clip. All right. He's not talking about sinless perfection. Okay? He's not talking about sinless perfection. I mean, there were two kinds of sin in the Old Testament in relationship to the tabernacle. Excuse me, let me get a little drink here. One was bad sin, the other was good sin. No. I could go off on that one. There was sins, we can say sins of the flesh, but we can also say sins against one another, which is a huge part. But it is trespasses and things like that. It is basically everything you call sin, except for you may just keep it to the category of rank sin, you know, murder and da 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 da, instead of, you know, a bunch of other stuff. But the second kind of sin was ceremonial uncleanness. Ceremonial. And it wasn't breaking any commandment in the sense of, well, this is just ceremonial uncleanness is a violation of the nature of Christ. Hello. Thank you. Lindsay keeps me straight. I was wrong. It's not ceremonial. Oh, yes, it is. Yes, it is. It is what Nadab and Abihu died for. They didn't do some rank sin. They didn't do some horrible thing. It was ceremonial uncleanness. And that's the worst to God. I mean, if you read through the Bible knowing that, you will find that he's way harder on people that are not one and flowing with this spirit than just being a sinner out there that does all kind of bad sins. All right, well, I'll leave that part with you. So perfection to him is not sinless perfection in terms of not doing any rank sin. It is violating the very spirit of this relationship that Jesus came to die for our regular sins, but greater, to give us a nature that won't violate this. Does that make sense? Now, if we ignore, you know, if you just go to a denominational church that just says, well, you know, if you've sinned, and they're just talking about, you know, I mean, Catholic church, you can go in and have, what's it called when you sit in the little booth? Confession. Okay. I did this and that, and it was, you know, it's really bad and stuff. And he goes, well, I'll tell you what, since it's so bad that what you've said, give me 20 Hail Marys. Hail Mary, Hail Mary. I don't know. Hail Mary, Hail Mary. It's like, okay, you're good now. Get out. That right there, what the priest just did is ceremonial uncleanness. Well, and I'm not down on the Catholics because we do the same thing. I mean, whether it's the denominational church or whatever, we, you know, we're just looking at the rank sins of the flesh or of man against man or whatever, and we hardly ever recognize that we are in violation in a huge way of the very thing that is God. Read Matthew 5, 43 through 48 again and see if we're not on the right track here. All right. So, I wrote down, so Jesus would test this self-giving nature to the max at the cross. He's going to test it to prove it. Now, he knows, don't you think he knows? But we don't know. But he's going to prove it. He's going to put himself in the worst possible situation, and he's going to live this through that. Okay? All right, we're still on track in 1 Peter. Did y'all know that? We're still talking 1 Peter, the book. Not just the one scripture that I read, the book. All right, so let me read another scripture out of 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 7. Okay, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, do not mistake that verse saying, who hath begotten us and his mercies, and the lively hope is the resurrection. It is the resurrection from the dead. It is that you went in, and this is 1 Peter. That you went into a death for someone else. You had this spirit and you went into death for someone else. And maybe they did something wrong and everybody accused you and you didn't point them out. And then you suffered for those things because you took on willing weakness or the nature of Christ in a bad situation and allowed that same lamb that stood before his accusers as dumb, and there in that death, 1 Peter's all about this, in that death and that kind of death, there is a resurrection from that. And that resurrection is the coming forth of Christ and in you, but can also come to them. I mean, that first scripture that we read, he gave himself, talking about Jesus, that Jesus gave himself the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. You see, built into that corn of wheat falling into the ground and dying is the potential of more seed. But there's no potential unless there's a death. Well, did that seed deserve to die? No. But it was put in there. Let's use another example. Did every lamb, little lamb of the first year that was killed throughout the history of Israel before Jesus came, deserve to die? No. Every one of them was an example of willing weakness. Every one of them. It was before their eyes all the time, every time, every time. And they couldn't see it. They couldn't see it. So Jesus came and lived it. All right. And they will one day what? See him whom they have pierced. Yeah. Okay. Because why? That knife killed him, but there's a resurrection out of that kind of a death for others. All right. So, did I read anything out of 1 Peter 1:3? Oh, yeah, I did. Begotten again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, which means you're going through the corridor. You're going through this suffering for others. The season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So there is, now, we'll get into that when we will go through this chapter, and we'll get into that, and I'll show you that there is particularly, well, I think primarily in the first chapter, Peter is giving two examples. He's giving the actual death, burial, and resurrection of Christ and the result of that, but he's also setting us up for this kind of death that the rest of the book talks about. So we'll get into all of that someday. Maybe 2,000 years while we've been in heaven. And we'll... Just kidding. All right. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 13. Huh. Which, 2 Corinthians 13, yeah, it's good. Verse 4 through 6. Ready? For though he was crucified, past tense, for though he was crucified through weakness, is this already sounding like, yet he liveth. That's not past tense anymore. That's continuously. He liveth by the power of God. The power of God is not going, get up. And he goes, phew. No, that's this power of the life that comes out of death. And for we also are weak in him when we're in 1 Peter, when we're in these situations, we're weak in him. In other words, we're taking on, we're not fighting back, we're not blaming, we're not justifying, we're not railing at them. This is wrong, this is unjust, this is so bad. You know, you guys are really in trouble with God because this is all a farce. We're not doing that, okay? Does it make you happy to know we're not doing that? but we shall live by the power of God toward you. All right, now here, verse 5. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves? How that Jesus is in you, except you be reprobates? In other words, you're going to be in weakness, though he was crucified through weakness. You're going to look in weakness, and you're going to look like a reprobate. And 1 Peter's full of that. The evildoers are really major accusers and false accusers, okay? So you're going to look like a reprobate, okay? Examine yourself, though. Check yourself to make sure that you're fitting into this spirit. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates? But I trust that you shall know that you are not reprobates. In other words, you didn't do it. They're blaming you. That person did it, but you won't give them up. You'll bear it for them, though you know you're not a reprobate. All right. Would you like at least one more before we quit? Let's do Galatians chapter 6. I never got back to those love scriptures, did I? Galatians 6, Galatas, capítulo 2, versículo 1, 2, 3, 4. Bear ye one another's burdens. Oh, wait a minute, what does that say? Don't move, don't read on. Where do you think that fits in? It fits right here into this movement that is the Godhead of bearing somebody else and letting somebody else bear you. That's what they're doing. That's what they're doing. Okay, bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Just see if I can get an answer here. What is the law of Christ? What? Nope. To love. That's the royal law. To love. That simple. So yes, it is the nature. Yes, it is to love one another as I've loved you. It's very definitely that. But it is the royal law. Where is that royal law located? Right here in the Godhead. And we have to be brought into that through oneness and through Christ becoming our life, us being conformed to that image, okay? And so, okay, but you have to read this in light of that. Bear ye, look at this, look at how they are. Bear ye one another, and so fulfill the law of Christ, which is the law of God, right? For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, look, anytime you step out of this and you just think you're something, then you've already violated the law of Christ. That your ceremonial uncleanness, God zaps it down pretty fast. Okay? So, if you're going off on yourself, so then he says, okay, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself, but let every man do what? Prove his own work. Prove this nature like Jesus came down to do. Jesus intentionally came into the worst, most horrible situation to prove that this is really what it's about and it works. Shouldn't y'all be just shouting glory and running around the room going, hallelujah! Whatever happened to those days? Yes, that's very true, Randy. Thanks for saying, isn't that true? And then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another, meaning he's gonna fulfill this law. All right, so we're going to stop here. And next time, I do want to go back, and I didn't finish all the scriptures that we were going to deal with relating to love. And if we finish next week to get that far, then the next time, not this coming time, but the one after that, I want to get into some paragraphs that the Lord gave me for our edification that deal directly out of 1 Peter. Father, we just thank you for your Spirit who is here, who is moving, who desires to bring us into this, that we might be partakers of the divine nature, and in so doing, not be about ourselves, not be about seeking our own glory, not being about being the best, not being about lording over others, not being about being seen in an honorable situation or as an honorable person. But know ye not, as you said, if we are Jesus's, we will be reprobates. But then you said, but know that we're not. We're not. We want to be with you the way you want us to be with you. And 1 Peter is clear that you want us to be with your son and his sufferings in a right spirit, in the spirit of the Lamb, drawing it from him, living it and manifesting out to the glory of the Father and for the blessing of others. Just move by your spirit continually and help us to partake, to eat of this reality until we're full of it and it does start coming forth in life. In Jesus' name, amen.